sub-assemblies.
Yep.
Don't need them. Get rid of it. Like, I don't like sub-assemblies.
For me, a massive Tupperware lid is...
Tupperware lid?
Yeah, the lid, dude. I'm very passionate about Tupperware wet palettes.
Passionate.
Very passionate about Tupperware.
I don't like non-metallic metal.
What? What?
Right then, let's go straight away with today's topic, which is a spicy one. Going to get a bit controversial here, because today's topic is, what are your mini painting hot takes? So I'm going to go first with this one.
Okay.
Just as a caveat to this, this is going to be controversial. And it's not because I have any disrespect for the skill, the talent. I can't do it myself.
Prepare to be triggered.
Please don't turn off.
I don't like non-metallic metal.
What? What?
I think it takes an incredible amount of skill. I can't do it myself. But in hand, I personally don't gel with the aesthetic.
Well.
In hand. So like in...
I think it looks amazing in photos, but I think that's kind of... Because they're a three-dimensional object.
It's almost the point that it looks better in... Like, I feel like that's when it looks its best.
It does, because you're viewing it from like one angle, right? It's like in a painting, right? Non-metallics make so much sense because it's not like you move your head, that's the only angle you can see it from.
Yeah, yeah.
But I don't personally like it the most when I'm holding a miniature in front of me and I've got to look at it from a certain angle, and if I turn it slightly, it looks a bit weird.
Yeah.
So I'll jump straight in on this one. I do like it, but I don't value NMM or non-metallic metal over true metallics. I think true metallics done very, very well also it holds up just as well as non-metallic metal.
They certainly look more, I don't think anyone will argue, it looks more like metal in your hands, right? Like, if you appreciate it as a miniature, right? Like, take yourself out of the world.
Yeah.
Right? Like, true metallics done really, really well, in my opinion, looks more like I'm holding a piece of metal.
I get what you're saying, definitely. I think the best way for me to explain it is, like I've explained it, you know, and other places before, but like it's a different medium of viewing something. Like you go into an art gallery and like you pointed out, you know, it's a certain style of doing something, irrespective of whether you like it or not. And I'm kind of in the camp of liking it, but I think it's, you either do metallics, as in true metallics, or you either do non-metallic metal. You don't cross the streams.
One thing I think we both do agree on is like when you see the occasional box art and it's got like a mix of true metallics and non-metallic metal,
I think sometimes
that breaks
you do,
immersion for me.
Yeah. I think you definitely do sometimes. It can happen sometimes. I think you do have to stick to the rule, you know, and as I said, to use a Ghostbusters thing, pun, don't cross the streams. I think it's the best way in my mind to do it. Like if you're going to go metallics, go metallics. If you're going to go non-metallic, go non-metallic. I think stick to that path and continue with it, because you're deceiving the eye of the person viewing it. You're the person who's viewing it and reading it. That's what I always say about painting, is that you're painting stuff for that person to then read on top of the plastic of the miniature. The thing for me that's a stickler with it, and as a tangent, is definitely going to be the perception that NMM is a technique. That drives me nuts. Like, it is not a technique. It is an amalgamation of several things. One of them being a painting technique, but it is not inherently in itself a technique. Which I hear a lot.
Well,
of people,
if you're going to break it down and go quite granular with it, it is more than that, isn't it? It's blending, it's glazing, it's volumes, it's understanding light.
Yeah, it's understanding.
It's arguably the one thing you could do where the color choice is, well, it's way more important than just painting a regular. If you're painting like leather or something, you can, there's a lot of variation there where you can paint something that looks like leather. If you're trying to paint NMM, I think you have to be way more specific on the colors you're picking, because otherwise it will not look like metal.
Color choice of NMM is very important, definitely. Like, and again, lots of people who paint it to a super high level have all different avenues to get a gold brass.
That's when it is really impressive, is when you start talking about like reflections and secondary reflections and like reflecting the color of the environment they're in.
Yeah, yeah.
That blows my mind, genuinely. Yeah. Like when it's like, you know, this is a silver sword, but you know, the base is blue, and like, so therefore, you know, if it's a mirror finish, you're going to absorb some. I mean, when it's done really, really well, it's mega, mega impressive. And
I really
can't do it myself. I cannot stress that enough. And I've got a massive amount of respect for it. But equally, when I'm holding it in hand, it just doesn't, gel the same way.
Yeah. I think the thing for me is that it's put on a pedestal a little bit, like as in like it's got this NMM, you know, and I get that totally. Like I realize why, because of obviously everything that's involved. And again, it is an amalgamation of a technique, which is the blending and glazing, understanding volume, so sphere, cylinder and cube, and then also understanding how those volumes inherently behave and react to light and directional light and where light is coming from, and then blending those colors to match how the light interacts with that volume, the sphere, cylinder, the cube. And that's the real skill of it. So it is that marrying of those three things, the technique, the understanding, and then lighting. But saying it's just one technique, I think devalues the amount of skill and effort that goes into it personally. For me, whether you choose to like it or not is obviously down to the individual person and whether you perceive it in a certain way or like it in a certain way. I think that it's suitable for certain things. I think if you're looking to perhaps game in army, definitely don't do it. I think you could be doing way more investment of time on other aspects, maybe consistency.
Your army is already not finished. Yeah. Don't set yourself the barrier.
Yeah. Yeah. But I know it's approaching it from a little, I don't want to come across like a painting snob or anything at all whatsoever, but I genuinely do think that, like, you know, you shouldn't put it on this pedestal or something. Like, I think True Metallics done really well with loads of glazing on them to add like tonal variants and stuff hold up just as well as non-metallic metal. And I think inherently because the paint that you put on there that does a lot of the refraction of light because it has got that metallic flake or pigment in it already, I think that adds a lot of value to in itself already. And like you quite rightly said, when you pick up something it is painted with metallics, it does immediately emulate metal because it's reacting to the light because of the flex and things that are in there. So I'm kind of like slap bang in the middle. I don't dislike it at all whatsoever. I love NMM, but I don't think it's better than TMM, and I don't think it should be put on a pedestal is my kind of viewpoint.
I think if I had to pick one that I preferred visually, I do prefer TMM.
Okay. Yeah, yeah,
but
yeah.
I think partly that could be because the barrier of the threshold of how good NMM has to be for it to look really good.
I think that's why it's put on a pedestal.
Way higher, which is why it's put on a pedestal. I also think it's put on a pedestal because you were saying it's an amalgamation of different things. And I think one of those different things, the understanding of the volumes,
yeah,
that's something that you actually have to look into and research.
Yeah,
and you won't only learn that just from painting your models.
Yeah.
So I think that extra step is another reason why it's... But I think because the threshold's so much higher for it to look incredible, you probably see less of it that looks incredible, if that makes sense.
Possibly,
and
yeah.
I think it's just one of those things where it's easier to get wrong.
Yeah.
So... Naturally,
that's why it's so
overall,
impressive in part as well, isn't it?
You know, yeah, it's easier to get wrong. To do. It's a weird thing to almost say that, like, that's why I don't prefer it visually. But I think because it's easier to get wrong, you just don't see as much of it that looks preferable to me.
Yeah.
Over TMM.
No, right. Makes sense.
Let's keep this rolling. Then we're going to do this rapid fire. James, yeah. Now I've been wildly discredited as an NMM hater. What is your hot take?
I got two. First one is gaming for me. I used to love gaming, as in playing either computer games or playing games of 40K. But for anyone who knows me and how much I bang on about time, I would much rather invest 3 hours a week if I had a session with my mates sitting around a table painting rather than 3 hours gaming. I think having something physical that is tangible once you've invested that time, for me personally, holds way more value than memories of a game or a charge that failed or a character that you killed, or like 6, 12, 18, 24 months down the line, you're not going to really remember that too much, I don't think.
See, that's funny that you say that, because like I don't play like war games. Like I never really have. I've never played 40K or anything. But as an avid video gamer, some of my most fondest memories with my friends have been when we've been playing
video games.
Yeah, and there have been moments where I've had the most fun.
I'm not even a big gamer in either aspect, whether it's tabletop or video games, but yeah, like socially, one of the things that I've enjoyed the most over the last few years is playing video games.
I think it's kind of the periphery of the game. Like the game really is just sort of what actually you're trying to say really is that for you, the painting is the catalyst for getting all of your friends around and spending time together.
I think for
a lot of people, if you exclude tournaments, especially or competitive play, that is what it is for us. So like me and my friends love playing Warzone. But it's not the war zone that we love.
If anything, we hate war zone.
Yeah. But it's every Thursday night we know at 9 p.m. I'm going to be playing games with my friends, and it's the chat in the lobby. Yeah. And
especially through like the lockdowns and stuff like that.
No, I get that.
For me, like playing like probably like the like non-nerdiest answer I could give, but playing like pro clubs, FIFA throughout lockdown with like a bunch of people that some of them I'd never even met or whatever, and just becoming like quite close.
That's
to
an
them.
Interesting thing as well, right? Because with the video games versus table, this could be like a whole different hot take in itself. But with the, I suppose there is a bit of a caveat to this, like if you're going to a group or a club or something, but like obviously if you're playing a game with your friends, you're only going to play that game with your friends. And if you only play that game with those friends at that location, you're not really exposed to much else. So like that's why I love video games over tabletop games, which is a bit of a hot take maybe, is you're exposed to other people. Like we've had loads of funny moments, like being put with like random people on our squad because only four of my mates and you need a team of six, and we're, you know, you end up meeting else people.
I guess because all cards, I haven't really played many online games like in that kind of environment, so I haven't.
I think a lot of your, because I've obviously heard, we've spoke about this a lot before, and I think a lot of your point of view from that comes from, in your mind, not to,
no, you not say to, it
not as to, an old man, not to call you out. Video games or what?
You're not that much older than me, but like, not to call you out for that, but in your mind, you're thinking about sitting in your room playing PlayStation 2.
On your
own, too,
like that sort of thing. That's what you're thinking of. Whereas it's so different now, and I think it, because one of the analogies that you used to drop when you would tell, like, have this discussion was that, like, oh, you know, the hard drive could corrupt or something like that, and it's like it's all on the cloud now. I know. It's all on the cloud.
Yeah, I get that totally.
So there's different aspects to it. I also, just to, in the context of this episode, I don't think it's a particularly hot take that the CEO of a miniature painting company would rather be painting than playing video games.
That is true.
Or even tabletop games.
I don't mind, like as I said, I don't mind gaming. I have done it in the past. I've done it for quite a lot of winter tournaments, like for example with SN, with loads of different Warhammer World, with my mate Tris, like loads in the past. Like, so I've definitely been immersed in it massively, and I do see the advantages, and do see that, I say advantage, I do see the good things and good times and good memories that can come about it. But I think because I really value having something physical for the time that I invest into stuff now massively more, that's why for me painting miniatures, and if I get the choice of doing that or sitting and painting something and going at the end of it, wow, I've spent 3 hours on this and I've managed to do all of this, or I've finished this model, or I just find personal value way, and this is totally opinionated on my perspective, I get that, but me personally, you asked for a hot take from me and this is what it is. You know, I just personally think if I've got 3 hours, for that 3 hours that I'm never going to get back, would I rather have this, or would I rather have something else? And every time I'm going to pick the physical thing that I've painted and invested time into, every single time. That's why for me, gaming, I might, a year's time, I might turn around and go, do you know what? I've been painting solidly for a year. I just want to chill. Like you know, in that other episode, we've obviously spoken about sort of like finding a goal and stuff like that. Like I genuinely think that for me, in my mindset and the way that I am now, like, I would much rather have something physical and tangible for whatever it is that I invest the time into. And that's just where I'm at.
For clarity on that, are you saying that you would rather spend that time gaming with your friends, painting with your friends, or do you mean painting on your own?
No. Obviously, like, if you've got,
I got it as you meant both, right? You just want something, you value being able to hold something at the end. You're like, I invested my time into this thing.
You want a physical thing at the end of your 3 hours to say, here is something that I can hold that I've achieved in this 3 hours.
Correct,
Versus here is the memory that I have of it.
Correct, yeah. That for me is like, you know.
Or here are the pixels on the screen that show that I've reached level
64.
Yeah.
Yeah. I genuinely, whether you do that with friends on Zoom or in Discord or whatever, like, and you have that kind of thing, or you get around a table, you get some food in, you get some drinks in, and you paint, and you look at each other's models, you get critique, you get advice, you get, I think that has got a really nice element of growing together as not just as a friend demographic and commute and little niche community, but I think it's just a much better, in my mind, again totally opinionated, in my mind it's a better investment in time. Like I don't for one minute think that like having some random dude join your squad and he's like talking, you know, crazy down the camp and mic or whatever, or saying silly thing. I don't discredit the fact that could be hilarious and have lots of fun. Me personally, I'd rather just chat to my mates, share growth in painting, paint something and then at the end of that session go, holy cow, I've done that. You know, that for me is more important personally. Yeah.
So, right. Yeah. Hot take number two. You said you got two.
Yeah. Wet palettes. Don't worry, anyone who's watching, I like wet palettes.
Everyone thought you was going one way?
No. Going to keep you on the edge of your seat. No, I don't like preordained, branded, manufactured wet palettes. I think that a wet palette is something that's been around for a very long time. It's come from other industry. It's been adopted by this industry, like the airbrush has done over the last 5, 10 years, whatever it is. You know, for me, a massive Tupperware lid is...
A Tupperware lid?
Yeah, the lid, dude. Yeah.
I thought people used like the Tupperware container. Like what,
spend all that time leaning over, getting wrist
leaning over.
Yeah, like, use a lid. I remember showing someone on a class the fact that I used the lid rather than the actual bowl of the Tupperware. It was like I showed them how to make fire. Like, it was
People put... Because people put a sponge in the Tupperware, to raise
just
it.
Just to clarify, when I first got into wet palettes, it was homemade like it is for a lot of people. And I was like, I need to find the shallowest Tupperware container I can. And I would use the lid to like seal it in when I was done. Yeah. So like I would put the sponge in the bottom of the actual container part. And then, lean.
Yeah, sorry, get wrist cramp leaning over all the time.
I do that, but I just have an upside down. So I put the container over the top of my lid.
Yes.
See, that's what a smart man would do. Like you said, with the guy who discovered fire. It's like,
I done it. He was like, this is my tub. This is my wet pan. And he went, what, you use a lid? I was like, yeah, like, don't you? Like, I was like,
when I thought to myself, I need a Tupperware that's really thin, I thought, the lid's really thin. I'll use the lid.
You're a smarter man than me, Joe, because that did not occur
to
me.
And I'll instead use the container as a lid, which is quite funny because it's like this big and you put it up. Isn't it?
Yeah, like so the reason for it is there's various things. This is something I really want to do a video for. So, I'm very passionate about Tupperware wet palettes.
Very passionate about Tupperware. Clip that there. I'm very passionate about Tupperware.
When you get as passionate as I am about Tupperware wet palettes, TK Maxx Tupperware, I always like heaven. All right, okay.
Can I just point out, because I've obviously again heard this a few times. I love that the go-to to buy Tupperware is
you know when they say like the guy goes to TK Maxx with his wife and like she gets distracted and like the husband's trying to like lure around because she's getting pulled away by pillows, is that like you and Ree with the Tupperware section? Ree's trying to take you through TK Maxx to get some new towels and like James has gone rogue on the Tupperware.
Who thinks I need a Tupperware? I'm going to go to TK Maxx.
Have you seen the aisle? Have you seen the selection that's there? You definitely
the first place I went to was like Wilco or something, or just somewhere where like been, I don't know.
You've not been down TK Maxx Tupperware, we're not sponsored by TK
or like,
Maxx.
Even
just
like
to add
Tesco anywhere else. TK Maxx, I didn't even know sold Tupperware.
That would be the last place on my list that I would think to go for a new.
I'm telling you now, you have not lived. All right, okay, you have not lived. But getting to the moral of the reasoning why, like preordained, manufactured, branded ones, they're designed for a specific purpose, obviously. But the problem is from testing them, from using them, there's quite a few things which, quite frankly, I think they're missing out on, and they aren't giving you a product which performs as well as a lid from a Tupperware. So just to clarify, my Tupperware essentially is a large Tupperware lid that's flat and has no sort of bevels or anything in it at all whatsoever. I use Blitz kitchen paper. It's probably my favorite kitchen paper to use because it's got so absorbent and it's really strong.
That was a bit of a game changer for me.
What, using Blitz?
Yeah.
I'm actually a controversial. I quite like the Plenty kitchen roll.
I haven't tried Plenty, but using Blitz was a bit of a game
Blitz
changer.
Blitz is game changing. It is.
That's how you know when you're on a nerdy painting podcast is we are debating the pros and cons of different kitchen roll brands.
I'm telling you now, if you've not bought Blitz, buy Blitz.
What part of the algorithm are we going to be pushed out into? The miniature painting or like
or
the
kitchen,
home,
get, home like, and cleaning,
home,
yeah.
like kitchen, like kitchen
when
moms.
When I put the category for this video, I'm going to have to put like, you know, home and, home, home and cleaning.
So the reason why is because obviously when you make kitchen paper wet, it really does become quite weak. Blitz retains its strength when it's wet, as per the adverts and everything that it goes on about. the beauty of it...
The marketing worked perfectly.
The beauty of it is that you can use a brush. First things first is when you obviously fold it in half, put it on the Tupperware. I'm glad you guys are kidding yourself, because this is serious stuff.
No, I agree though. I agree. It is, but I do like a bit of blit.
You fold it in half, wet it, make sure it's level, and then with a brush, just make sure you get all the air pockets out from the things. Setting up the wet palette, believe it or not, is actually massively integral. I've seen hundreds of videos on YouTube, hundreds of people on classes. I'm not going to name names and remain professional, but I've seen loads of top-end painters that literally leave loads of creases, air pockets, bubbles underneath the sheet that they put on top of their sponge. That is massively detrimental to the performance of the wet palette, and it dries out the wet palette very quickly because that air pocket expands over time. Personally as well, like, so once I've folded the paper in half and I put obviously a brush over it to flatten, to squeeze out all the air, I use baking sheet. I don't use any of the preordained cut pre sheets or whatever. I just get a really cheap roll of baking sheet. Because I find the paint behaves in a specific way on that surface. It doesn't behave like on any of the branded palettes that are out there, etc. And again, when I place that sheet on top, I then smooth that down with a brush as well, getting out any air from underneath that surface as well. Again, I've seen it, like there are painters that put the sheets down, they just put it straight on top, don't smooth it out, don't take any air pockets out, and start putting paint on straight away.
I'm going to bridge the gap here with your hot take, right? Because I agree with everything you're saying about setting the palette up. And I agree with everything you're saying about a lot of the manufactured palette paper I also don't use. However, from a purely like utilitarian standpoint, I would much rather have a nice...
Something preordained, I know.
I would much rather have like the nice container that I spent way too much money on that like...
I'm gonna annihilate your thing then, because I'd rather spend 10 minutes cutting sheets perfectly to size.
I cut the sheets. No, just to clarify. So I have a pre-manufactured wet palette.
Yeah.
I use my own baking paper. But the reason I use that instead of like a lid is because I don't want a janky thing that I have to put in my drawer.
Yeah.
Like, nice. I like being able to put the lid of my wet palette on, set my paints, put the band around it, put it in a drawer. I know it's going to be fine tomorrow.
You're just using a nice container.
Yeah.
And if you go to TK Maxx...
You'll get a nice container. That's
you can find the nice container.
There's hundreds to choose from. So,
as we've established.
So, yeah, no. So, but the other thing as well, I'll say this as well, is like, so...
That's where I went. I went to like the Range or something and I got like a bog standard.
Totally way off the mark, you know.
If you want to be a pro painter, TK Maxx Tupperware aisle is where it's at.
So once you've cut your baking sheet and placed that on, the thing I see with preordained ones is that the sheet is cut to the exact same size as the foam. Now, you know that when you move a brush massively, really quickly on the surface of a model with paint, it causes friction, which can lead to rough paint. Yeah. When you've got a bit of paper that's the same cut size as the edge of the foam, you have a point of perforation for air to get in under that sheet all the way around that foam. Yeah. That sheet will dry up very quickly because obviously air is permeating through that gap between the sponge or the paper sheet layer on top of the sponge. With a wet palette that I use, and with a wet palette that I'm going to do a demo on, you cut the baking sheet so it fits within the paper towel. So when you press down on the edges of the baking sheet, it seals it and sticks to the paper, stopping from air from permeating underneath. And if you've done the setup of the palette correctly, which takes seconds and get all the air out, that palette factually is going to last you way longer and make your paint perform better as a result of it not drying out as quickly. And I'm going to do a video on this because it's something I'm really passionate about, in case you couldn't tell, and it will include TK Maxx. But all jokes and things aside, like it is really, really something that is close to my heart, because I think that, like, you know, we often put faith in products because they're sold in a way that is designed to tell us
it's marketing,
you know,
it's marketing, isn't it?
Yeah, like, you know, oh, this is game changing for you.
I suppose we'll never be able to sell one now, so that's one thing.
Yeah, there goes our shot at a sponsorship for this episode.
Yeah, I'm sorry to say it, but like, I'd rather advocate a product which is going to perform better and serve painters better than something.
Or that, do sell one and it's just Tupperware. We start selling Tupperware.
That's an idea for the store. We'll just start getting some Tupperware later.
But all jokes aside, you know, like, it is something that I think that, you know, you don't need a preordained manufactured one. There are several weaknesses I personally think with those, and I'm quite old, go on record and say I do think that they are, you know, they're not as fit for purpose as something that you can make yourself.
Right, okay, I'm going to cut you off there, James, because we are short for time.
No, it's good.
Joe, you're very passionate on Tupperware.
Very passionate topic about Tupperware. Yeah. I didn't realise the can of worms that I'd opened there. Joe, what is your hot take?
Mine's like a bit of an inherited one from being around, because you've mentioned this a few times. Right. But I think I initially thought this, but I was like fighting past it because I thought I had to.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just, once you said it, I was like, I don't need to fight past this anymore. But sub-assemblies, don't need them. Get rid of it. Like, I don't like sub-assemblies. I thought that at the start, I was like, sub-assemblies.
George is triggered.
I need to paint sub-assemblies to be a better painter.
Yeah.
waste of time.
Correct. Yeah.
What will you make the exception? Will you make the exception that a cape on the back of a model, when you cannot get behind it,
we've discussed this. His legs. There are some.
There's certain things. There's certain things. I'm talking about. I'm going to put all the arms on a.
That's
thing.
Madness.
I'm going to put all the, unless they're being a different color or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Look, there's certain things. If you want to, you know, put the head on a paperclip or something, and you want to, yeah, maybe the cape's taken.
I agree with you totally.
Whatever, yeah. That's fine.
Agreed.
Yeah. But like putting a leg on a paperclip and another leg on a paperclip and then this and then I thought that I needed to do that to be a better painter. Like I
had the exact same thought process, because you often see whips on Instagram. Yeah. And it's like basically completely painted.
It's like a Meccano kit.
I basically thought that I was like, that's why I'm not painting as well. It's because I can't get to all the little areas and stuff. And that weren't why I wasn't painting as well. I just wasn't painting as well because I wasn't as good a painter.
But you start copying things, don't you? You go like, oh, well, everyone else is doing that. There must be something to it. I'm going to start doing that too. And then you realize that it's not really necessary.
Not needed. And like, especially if you're painting an army.
Yeah.
Like, it's ridiculous. And another thing that I think you used to touch on was just like, it will make you neater naturally.
Of course it will,
if you're trying, if that's something that you're focusing on.
All I'm going to say on this is doing things in sub-assembly, heads, capes, covering stuff, definitely 100%. If it permanently blocks your access to a part of a detail and a model, 100% do it separately. Like, that'd be crazy. Like, you're not, you know, you've not got a brush that goes through matter.
It's like,
you know,
it's like, literally making it
impossible.
But I think overall,
100%.
I think it sounds like more of a hot take if I just say I don't like sub-assemblies overall.
I agree. Like, you know, all I would say, this is a thing on it, is adversity is the greatest teacher. If it's slightly more difficult to hit a highlight or to execute something, developing the brush control to be able to do it, it makes you a better painter. Like, it means you're neater, it means you're more controlled with the brush. You shouldn't be restricted by something just because it's a little bit harder to get to. You should try and get better. That's like trying to walk with perfectly fine legs and then using crutches. It's just not doesn't make sense.
Thank you very much for making it to the end of the podcast. Please feel free to leave your perspective in the comments below and share all of your mini painting hot takes. It would really, really help us out if you could share this podcast with your friends, leave a like and subscribe to the channel. Thank you.